Sounds like Antonio Brown could be moved now at any point. Watch, he ends up in Buffalo anyway. After all this, he still goes to Buffalo.
The only worst place to go would be Dallas with some real losers.
Well, you'd have a chance to win there.
That's right. Pierre LeBrun's in studio. Well, they're picking up Allen Hurns and his option anyway, so they're capped out.
You know, I like that. We'll get off the Cowboys in a second here, but I only like that because of the way the season ended and the way that he had become such a popular guy in that room. He's only like a fourth guy on
$4 million pickup or whatever.
Just the broken leg in that playoff game is just like, oof.
Apparently he's back in the field working out. Like they're picking it up because they clearly believe that he can play.
Well, next year.
Why wouldn't it be Dallas Cowboys time? Absolutely. You were down at the meetings. You
know, yes.
We had Dregs on, we had Bob on, and we started the same way while they were at Boca Raton for the GM meetings. Nothing's come out of this.
Like, very minor.
It just sounds like a complete waste of time. Like, is it a vacation because leading up to the trade deadline, the GMs are working, and then it's like, here, we'll throw you a bone, we'll fly you guys down to Florida.
I mean, they do put in the time, but it's interesting. I've covered that meeting for about 20 years, and it used to be you'd go down there and everyone's hair was on fire. That puck era. We need goals.
Right.
And then headshots. Rule 48. Cook, Savard. Like, you'd go down there, and literally you felt like you're in the center of the hockey universe for 3 days because stuff was happening, and the game was having a crisis every single year.
Right.
It is, and I hate being, I hate even pretending to saying everything's fine, but it is weird the last couple of years to go down there and have guys say, we don't want to do anything big because people like the game. Like, my entire career, I've never seen this in the NHL.
CBA get brought up at all?
It did. There was an update on the CBA. It was pretty brief. Update on Seattle. I wrote about that for The Athletic on Wednesday. That's the only spice that really came up is Bill Daly came up pretty firmly and said he doesn't. Essentially, the league's going to make sure Vegas doesn't interfere in the Vegas expansion process. Remember, Vegas is exempt from the draft. They don't have to come up with a protection list, lose a player. So they're going to become a popular target for other teams who are in a jam to dump players. And what the NHL is saying, you cannot park players on Vegas, but you can make a bona fide trade. And I'm trying to figure out how
there's
the
only so many roster spots. I mean, how many guys can they take on?
But there could be one or two. Like, the example I talked about is, what if the Predators decide to protect three instead of four defensemen this time around? They did the big four last time, obviously, but it meant they could only protect four forwards, so they lost James Neal. They protect three. One of their big four gets exposed. You would want to trade him to Vegas and get something back as opposed to losing for nothing in the expansion draft at Seattle. All Bill Daly would say is he will know when he sees it as far as something that doesn't pass a smell test for Vegas.
How's he going to know him?
I don't know. It's going to be
trade P.K. Subban for a seventh rounder? Is that what you're saying? Like,
well, I don't know. I mean,
that would be it.
The thing is, for me, is Vegas should have a right to try and make trades through that process. I mean, it stinks for Seattle that they have this weird team not part of it that Vegas didn't have to deal with themselves.
Well, I think it would also be a lot easier for the other owners to handle it if Vegas was a legitimate expansion team in hot garbage right now.
Right.
They'd be like, go ahead. You suck. Yeah. Go stand over there.
Might win the cup before Seattle comes into the league.
Exactly. Like, let's say you're Calgary, Edmonton, San Jose. You're like, these guys get this again? They get this type of treatment again?
And I will tell you, privately, some GMs were grumbling to us a lot this week about Vegas being exempt. But the thing is, it was promised to them from the outset. And in return, they don't get a check from Seattle. They're the only team that doesn't get expansion money.
Well, then that's where the owners are going to have to just deal with it. That's
right. Yeah, they deal with it. They get extra money.
They get their money.
They got their money, but then they can't complain that Vegas gets to skate on that. But
But Noodles, that's why today, Mark Stone's contract, I emailed out the details on it. Full no move. Every other team in the league right now is paranoid to give a full no move to any player, no matter how good they are, because those guys are forcibly protected in the Seattle expansion draft.
Right.
Vegas is exempt.
Right. So it doesn't matter to them.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Just another little example of how the reality is different the next few
years. That's a good point. In terms of the CBA and collective bargaining agreements, I'm paraphrasing here, but how about the audacity of Gary Bettman to say that, you know, labor peace is very important for us. Like, that's got to rattle the players. Doesn't? I know the agents. I saw Alan Walsh was like, is this guy serious? Yeah. Like, all he does is lock the players out, and now all of a sudden labor peace is supposed to be such a high priority for him?
Well, he definitely doesn't want to lock them out this time. That is a genuine emotion, I can tell you. But, yeah, to say that that's always what they've cared about clearly was not the case. They shut down the entire season.
So could you see a strike?
O'Dog and Noodles were playing.
Could you see a strike?
That's the real question.
Would the players say it's not going to work for us and we're not showing up?
This has always been about, and I wrote this back in September, but now people are starting to pay more attention. Because remember, both sides have to decide by September what they're doing. Because the reopener decision, not the actual reopener, but the decision is 12 months out. So the reopener is September 2020. The decision is September 2019. Each side 2 weeks apart. The owners, there is zero chance in my mind that the owners will reopen this CBA unless they're really angry as to how these talks go the next few months. They've been negotiating behind closed doors. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get something done by the end of the summer to avoid the whole reopener thing and to avoid everything and to finally have labor peace. So far, on both sides, and this is rare, like both sides are fairly optimistic, but it's hard for me to believe it because of what we've experienced when you guys played.
Like, absolutely.
But why wouldn't the league want, I mean, you've got expansion coming, you know, Olympics.
And we've asked those questions every time. It's like, why wouldn't you want things to proceed? Right, right. And
but,
sure enough.
But that, I think the last time around, there was some things, regardless of what people think or not, there were some things that, from a business standpoint, they perceived was broken. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and now that there is the framework in place, whether you like it or if you don't like it even as a player because of escrow,
mm-hmm.
I think that's where the player is probably going to focus on maybe a set escrow instead of it moving around. Like, I don't know if you can do that because it's a 50-50 split.
Yeah, if you have a set escrow, you no longer have a hard cap. But the bottom line is for the players, I think the league has to find ways to loosen up some of the revenue definitions so that they get more of a piece of the pie somehow.
Yeah.
Olympics are a big one. But at the end of the day, when I talk to players, and it's hard to talk to 750 players, but when I talk to players, I've yet to grab a sense of we're so angry with this that we want to go on strike. I just don't feel it right now.
Right.
Now, maybe as talks keep going this summer, the players have a decision to make. But I actually believe, even though I'm incredulous to it, that there is, believe it or not, a chance they can figure this out.
Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider in studio. In terms of the marketing of the sport, the boys on First Up got into this today. I was texting with Carlo a little bit. You know, I don't know how they came across this topic, but this idea that there are 25 superstars in the NHL.
No chance.
And Carlo said yes. You said no. I said no as well. And I haven't gone through every single team.
Sidney Crosby's a superstar. How many Sidney Crosbys are there? There's not 25.
Well, there's not one definition. Not one. It's not like LeBron and then. So what? There's only one superstar in the NBA? There's only one LeBron James? Like,
no, there's LeBron layers. James. There's Steph Curry. There's James Harden.
Okay. Alex Ovechkin, Connor McDavid. Like, there are a number of Malkin. Them in the NHL.
You just have to figure out where the line is.
Yeah. And it's totally subjective.
But there's not 25.
It. I don't think there is either. I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's also not just one or two.
I think
two.
There's 15.
Like superstars. How would you define a superstar?
Guys who have been in the hardware conversation and been very consistent throughout their career and that are known as the elite.
Yeah.
So I can think of a couple, you know, at least one. Like for me, Carey Price is a superstar from a goaltender standpoint.
Yes. Now, goalies are more difficult to market.
He's back to being one anyway. I'm not sure you would have said the same in September.
That's a superstar.
Eric Karlsson, superstar. Brent Burns, superstar.
I think there's 15.
It starts to rack up a little
bit. But I think there's at least 15 in the league. Yeah.
Number, 15.
25's a bit rich, but I think we could get there in a number if we started to look at it. Like, is Jack Eichel a superstar? Or
not
is he coming?
Is he Buffalo, getting in Buffalo? Well, but if Jack Eichel is Auston Matthews?
Yeah, I think Auston Matthews.
I think he is too, but you know, Matthews won Rookie of the Year. He hasn't been up for the Hart either.
No,
you know,
I'm saying it just doesn't. Hart is not the definition. I'm just saying.
I think it's ticket sellers. Like, I think it's guys who you really say, I'm going to buy a ticket to go see that guy play.
Jack Eichel would be the closest thing to a guy on the outside looking in.
Would Johnny Gaudreau be a superstar?
Jimmy Kucherov.
Kucherov's a superstar.
See, that's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, like,
I think you can get there.
You, but then there are teams where you're like, is Claude Giroux? Sorry, Pierre. Is Claude Giroux a superstar?
No.
I don't think he is.
Be careful.
Hurst, Ontario. But I don't think he's a superstar.
Another outstanding season by Claude Giroux, by the way.
Under the radar.
He's a great player.
You think he's a superstar?
Of course I do.
I think he's close.
That's his boy.
Loser.
But like the Rangers, they don't have one. Is Taylor Hall a superstar?
Well, is Henrik Lundqvist a superstar?
Last year he was.
See, but that's the thing. You start dancing around and you're like,
yeah, okay, so based Carlos
on,
right.
But based on career, is Henrik Lundqvist a superstar?
He was at the height of his career.
But that's but he's still in the league. I'm not saying this
because Giroux's from my hometown, but he's been close to top five in scoring almost every year of his career except when he was hurt. I'm just saying.
No question.
You know what that is, though? That's brand management. Like, Giroux hasn't been deep into the playoffs, and like he's always been in the conversation of, I mean, he played in the Olympic team. He didn't play on the Olympic team.
I thought he played on the World Cup team in 2016.
He was not there in 14. He was the extra guy.
And in 14, he had a monster. He was having monster years, and that's another thing. If you're on the bubble of, you know, like PK Subban is a superstar for me, and I think the brand and the way that he is promoted.
But it's funny when Team Canada puts everything on the line and says these are the guys we're bringing to the Olympics.
Right. But like I would,
that's a real honest process too. It's sort of like you find out what other GMs think about guys around the league.
Absolutely,
right?
And that is a different story. That's pure hockey and X's and O's,
and the way they want his team to come together. Yeah.
Hollywood and marquee. Like Alex Pietrangelo is not a superstar for me. No. I don't think Shea Weber's a superstar. Like I don't think Shea Weber was a guy.
I think he was.
Yeah,
he's close.
Like, I mean, that's all subjective.
But you're right. That's where you can get to a number 15, 20, 25, depending on how loosely you term. And what would be your criteria? It's almost getting back into Hall of Fame arguments. Like, this guy's a Hall of Famer, that guy's not a Hall of Famer. It's personal preference, because I would love to be privy to one of those meetings at the Hall of Fame. Like, do they have a defined criteria, or did they just work through it? If we sat here for 10 hours and roundtabled it, we could probably come up with 25 superstars, but there would be loose translation from player 20 to 25. Mm-hmm. That's how I would say.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is where you're going, Brian, but I think the league generally gets criticized for not marketing its stars as well as other sports. I think it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, they're more team first.
Yeah, and what I will tell you is an interesting conversation I had with a league official about a year or two ago where I asked that. I said, does that bother you guys when you hear that? And he said to me, I'm trying to remember exactly how he said this, that the experience that they learn from the heavy marketing of Ovechkin and Crosby as rookies in 05-06 coming out of lockout taught them that that's not what a lot of their fan base wanted, that the logo in front is, in fact, the biggest driving force of what hockey fans are into. Interestingly.
Well, but what I would say about that is I wouldn't deny that. I mean, those are the studies, but you're surveying the people that you already have as fans.
Right.
You know, so how do you attract the people that aren't necessarily into the game?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would suggest having players and billboard type players, marquee type players that can dive into the mainstream might be able to attract some more people into the game.
Yeah, like that ad that Kucherov did during the holidays, the Geico ad, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed a side of his. I mean, I've been interviewed many times, but he's a very serious athlete. And I was always like, man, I'd love to be the media guy that finally gets to know this guy because he's one of the best 10 players in the world. And in that ad, you finally saw a side of Nikita Kucherov I had never seen before in my mind.
Right.
And that's a guy more people should know about.
Well, especially if he's going to win the Hart.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He probably is.
But that goes back to, and I remember sitting down with an owner during the lockout and him saying to me, we have to do a better job of really branding players throughout the league. He said, and he gave an example, Jerome McGinley should be known in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Not just known in Calgary and in Canada. He has to be, when you have to market your players throughout the league. I think the NBA does a really good job of that.
Oh, for sure.
But the NBA, there was a time where revenues between the NHL and the NBA weren't that far apart. I think it was about $1 billion. Now they've blown them out of the water.
Who's got to be responsible for that, to bring Jerome McGinley to the attention of Floridians? Is it the Flames?
I think it's the league. Like
some company that's got to, like.
Well, you know what? Really, you need your media partners to be doing that.
Right.
That's the problem that the NHL has in the States.
Right.
Is you go down there, they're not on ESPN, and so ESPN pretends like they don't exist. Right. Like, that's just the way ESPN operates.
NHL Network and NBC.
And the NHL Network, I don't know if they do a good. It's a lot of fluff. It's a lot of, you know, hey, everything's all good, everything's great. Where if you look at the NFL Network or MLB Network, like there's a lot more debate. There's a lot more heated.
Yeah,
you know,
who's better? Who's not performing? It's not just a fluff ball.
I don't watch the NHL Network very often. I don't pretend to know. Yeah, well, that's another thing. We have it in studio. It's always up here in studio, and you know, I follow them on Twitter and stuff, and they'll tweet out their content, but. If the only option you have in the States is the NHL Network, and it's more just about, hey, look at the Rangers.
Yeah, I got a hat trick.
As opposed to really, you know, who's really getting into the real debates that people want to hear, I don't know how much you can expect.
But I also think one of the things that's held hockey players back over the years is also one of the things you love about hockey players the most. It's their humility. At their core, most hockey players are unbelievably humble and don't seek the spotlight. And so it's actually uncomfortable for them, I know, when people go to them and say, do you want to do this, want to do that? And it's not a natural trait for a hockey player to want to take the spotlight on. And Kucherov's a great example. I mean, you could tell. He just wants to do his job and not worry about anything.
Phil Kessel's, no? I mean, he's cusp of superstar, but great player.
Yeah, he's not a superstar.
But There's only a handful of guys that love
it. But he was a name in this city. Okay, in one of the, you know, the biggest media situations in hockey, Phil Kessel was arguably the face of the franchise.
By default, they didn't have anything.
But I'm saying he didn't. You know, that wasn't a marketing situation. Phil wanted. He was allergic to it. He didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting at. And I mean, Jonathan Toews was known as Captain Serious. He's actually worked hard to get away from that mantra.
Right,
he's a lot looser. You see him doing Christmas jingles and stuff. He's actually a funny guy, but it was the humility, it was the vanilla answers, it was kind of straight lace stuff that people were like, "No, the guy's kind of boring." He's all serious.
You guys know you've been in NHL dressing rooms for so long. That's how it is,
and that's the culture.
And that's why, you know, it's refreshing. Like Brad Marchand had fun this week on social media. I wish we had more of that.
He's driving an Instagram account all of a sudden. Like,
but you have to feel confident. Today? You know, I like Evander Kane on Twitter. I think he's funny after the non-suspension on Chera. Like, I wish more players did that because it just brings juice. But you know there are other guys around the league saying, oh, you know, don't make it about yourself. And I mean, that's the old hockey thing.
Right. Someone texting in saying, McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin, three superstars. Everyone else you're describing are just stars. So that's, you know, one definition of it.
Leafs playing the Oilers Saturday night. What do you think's going down with that GM search? I know the Vegas Golden Knights have said no one's talking to Kelly McCrimmon until that season is over.
Yeah. I think Kelly McCrimmon's on near the top, if not at the top, of both those lists for Seattle expansion and for Edmonton. Bob Nicholson spent the week at the GM meetings. He represented, since they don't have a GM, he went in the room and represented the Oilers as the interim GM. And in the downtime, he spoke to a lot of GMs and sort of mined their brain about the kind of things he should be looking for. It's pretty interesting. I know some people were like, well, you know, how much will you be giving him, you know? But the thing is, Bob Nicholson, because of his role at Hot Canada over the years, knows all these guys, right? He has so many relationships. So it's going to start, I think, as late season here. They're going to start the process.
Again, Leafs Oilers tomorrow night. You can hear that on TSN 1050. Good seeing you, buddy. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Yeah, come and join me at 10 p.m. Ducks and Habs if you guys are bored.
Je ne sais pas. I'll be watching it. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, maybe check it out.
I'll watch you. I'm going to be watching you.
We'll be watching you in particular. You on with Tessa tonight?
Yep.
All right. You and Tessa tonight on TSN 5, I believe, right? There you go. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.